This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Violet Lavate and Kristen Joy of Got Green, a Seattle-based organization working to ensure that the benefits of the new green economy are widely available to low-income communities of color. Violet volunteers for the Food Access Committee of Got Green's Women in the Green Economy project, and Kristen serves as Got Green's operations director. Violet and Kristen are here today to tell us about the report, Women in the Green Economy, Voices from Southeast Seattle, and to discuss access to healthy food by low-income families. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
Would you begin by saying a few words about Got Green?
Got Green was started in 2008. Initially, it was focused exclusively on the issue of green jobs and the federal stimulus dollars. And Michael Wu, the founder, along with a founding group of young adult activists from Southeast Seattle, wanted to be sure that green jobs that were rolling out under the federal stimulus package would become available to and offer opportunities to low-income workers of color who had been locked out of our traditional economy. More recently, in the last year, Got Green has decided to expand its scope to create a framework for the green economy that goes well beyond green jobs and includes things such as access to healthy foods, the issue of green homes and both energy efficiency and environmental conditions in people's homes, access to public transportation, and then continuing to work on the issue of green jobs, but trying to expand what's considered a green job so that more women would see green jobs as things that are accessible to them.
Would you give the history of how the Women in the Green Economy Project came about?
About a year ago, a few members of the staff at Got Green, Tammy Nguyen, who is one of the founding young adult members and one of the only young women in Got Green at the time, and myself were in a staff meeting with our coworkers, and we were looking over a group of who had been active in the organization. And the group was skewed by about a 3-to-1 margin of males to females. And Tammy, who is a single parent and a strong spokesperson in her community of New Holly, she spoke up and said, "Excuse me, am I the only one who sees a problem here? What are we going to start to do to attract women and other women like me from our Southeast Seattle communities into Got Green?" It was really that moment where the idea for the Women in the Green Economy Project was launched. But what we understood was that in the way that green jobs were being discussed, women weren't coming into the organization because they didn't see it as a place for them. And so the idea was put forward that we should do a survey of low-income women and women of color themselves in Southeast Seattle communities to ask them what their priorities were for this new green economy and how they saw the opportunities or the barriers to themselves and their families benefiting.
Violet, would you say a few words about yourself and why you became involved in Got Green's Women in the Green Economy Project?
Yeah, actually, a few months ago, they had a survey for the women. And I was actually at a grocery store and took the survey. And I got interested in the question she had asked me about healthy foods. As single women, because I am a single mother, it piqued my interest in we do need access to healthier foods. And when they launched the first meeting that I attended, I was hook, line, and sinker because it was something that I needed to be involved in because, you know, my son, that's what I want him to do is have access to healthier foods.
Would you say more about the survey that you did for the report?
The survey that came out, the questions was, what is it in this neighborhood of women of color? What do you want for you and your family, you and your children? What caught me was more access to healthier foods for my children. Healthy foods is really expensive. That's the bottom line. We have access to cheap food like Top Ramen and things like that because, you know, in this day and age, we have to make it as single moms. We have no access to healthy foods because it's expensive. It's a lot of money to buy organic and fresh fruits.
And so Violet's perspective that choosing the theme access to healthy foods was a top priority for her family her opinion and her perspective was actually reflected by nearly a 2-to-1 margin from the 212 low-income women, women of color, and immigrant women who took the survey. The way the surveys were conducted, they were all done face-to-face in front of grocery stores, public health clinics. Some were done in women's homes around their kitchen table. And they were conducted in a way where the women were encouraged to talk freely about different green issues and how they were impacting their families. So the first question presented four areas of the green economy that the steering committee of the Women in the Green Economy Project had identified as critical to women in general and women in Southeast Seattle in particular. So the very first question was, here are four areas that we think belong in the green economy: green jobs, green home, access to healthy foods, and public transportation. And the volunteers and the organizers who conducted the survey handed an information sheet to each woman. And that information sheet was hopefully in her own language. And it would describe each of those areas in very popular terms. And then the woman was asked, could you rank those four areas 1 to 4 based on the area that you think is of top priority to your family and those that are of lesser priority? And then based on her priorities, we followed up by going in the same order that she selected and asking for each of those areas, why did you choose this area? What is important about it to you? And secondly, what are the barriers and what's getting in the way to you accessing a healthier diet for your family or creating an energy efficient and healthy home for you and your family to live in? So the order of priority for those four areas was access to healthy foods by nearly a 2-to-1 margin, followed by green home, and the issue of environmental health really rose to the top under green home. Green jobs was third, and public transportation was fourth.
Would you go into more detail about the ethnic diversity of the people who took the survey?
Nearly half of the women who were surveyed identify as African American or of African descent. About 50% of those women are either East African immigrants or from East African immigrant homes. 12% of the women are Latina. 15% are Asian Pacific American. And so those were the top groups of women surveyed. Clearly, it represents our Southeast Seattle communities, which are the most racially diverse and the most working class communities left in our city.
What kind of income diversity did you find in the participants?
I am unemployed. I was receiving unemployment. And my household, I had to double up. I actually moved in with my sister to save money because during the recession, I lost my job.
So Violet's experience, again, really reflects the women who step forward and who express an interest in the green economy and the green movement. More than half of the women live in households that make $25,000 a year or less. And some other information that we were really struck by, we live in a city in which the average household size is only 2 people. As many of us see in our neighborhoods, there are fewer and fewer children because families often can't afford housing in the city any longer. However, 43% of the women who participated in the Women in the Green Economy survey live in households of 5 or more people. Again, households in which often you have combined generations or families who've moved in together to make things work during this recession.
If you looked overall at the participants who cited healthy food as their top priority, as Violet did, what did they give as their key reasons?
Women talked again and again in the survey, specifically in the access to healthy foods and in the green home issue areas, they kept talking about the health of their families, the health of their children. And so we actually put forward different messaging coming out of the report that we heard coming from women in Southeast Seattle communities. And one of our messages we released on Saturday, which was called Moving Planet Day and International Day of Action Against Climate Change. And it's a message that we want to put forward to the broader environmental community. And the message is this: there's been a lot of talk about diversifying the environmental movement. It's a movement that's been primarily white, that's been middle class and upper middle class. And our message is this: if you want low-income women and women of color, if you want Southeast Seattle communities to embrace this movement as their own, then you need to move beyond talking just about the health of the planet and start talking about health and start promoting policies that increase the health of low-income families, and then you'll hook people.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Violet Levite and Kristen Joy of Got Green. Our topic is the report, Women in the Green Economy, Voices from Southeast Seattle. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. You mentioned cost as being a key barrier to obtaining healthy food. Would you speak about the evidence for healthy food being inaccessible?
We were very lucky in the timing of our survey and the release of our report happening this past weekend, because in early August, the Public Health Department at the University of Washington released a study that got a lot of nationwide attention. And their study surveyed a few thousand families in King County across income brackets. And what they found is that for the average family in King County, and this isn't for the lowest income family, but for the average family in King County, to bring their family eating up to federal nutrition guidelines, USDA guidelines, actually just in the area of potassium consumption, it would cost a family of four approximately $1,300 more per year than what they're currently spending. So we felt very backed up by this study, and the women felt backed up to have scientific evidence that eating a healthier diet costs a lot more and is actually inaccessible for the average family in our area.
Are there other barriers to healthy food that came out?
I know one of the barriers that Violet will want to talk more about is food that's inaccessible due to location. Violet lives in the Skyway neighborhood, and we did some background research and a study that came out of the University of Washington and a Food Policy Action Council recently did geographic mapping looking at this issue of food deserts in the Seattle area. They looked not just at mileage to a grocery store, but they looked at the public transportation routes, and they identified most of the Skyway neighborhood, which sits above Rainier Beach and Renton, as a food desert in which residents who are dependent on public transportation would spend 45 minutes or more on the bus just to get to a grocery store.
Yeah, we have no fruit stands around our area. There are no grocery stores. I live in the Skyway, and if we had to shop, we would have to drive down the hill either way, north or south. And there is no access to any of these fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. There are no grocery stores. So it's almost like a forgotten part of town in Skyway.
What are your recommendations about how to make healthy food more accessible to low-income communities in Seattle?
The first recommendation is fairly global. Got Green supports any policy shift, any new piece of legislation at local level, state level, or national level that puts more dollars directed at purchasing healthy foods into the pockets of low-income women. We learned that in some other parts of the country, there are some pilot projects right now, often called a double up or double buck program, in which families on basic food or food stamps are rewarded for healthier eating patterns with increased level of food stamps in the next month. That's a type of policy that we would support in Washington State or in Seattle, King County. A second policy recommendation that we're putting forward revolves around the EBT card fees. EBTs are the swipe cards that low-income people in the state who are on the basic food program or who are on TANF or even on unemployment now receive from the state to use to purchase food with their benefit package. And we've learned that JP Morgan Chase Bank, a private corporation, is actually getting richer each time a new family signs up for food stamps in Washington State. So Chase Bank's contract with Washington State to administer the EBT cards right now is at about $8 million a year. We've done the math, and we've been looking at what programs are out there that already exist in our state to allow low-income families to have more access to healthy foods. And we have something called the Farmers Market Nutrition Program that has been repeatedly spoken of very highly by women in our survey. That program right now gives some farmers market bucks, a fairly small amount, $20 to families who are on the Women, Infant, and Children program with young children under 6 years old, and $40 to seniors who are on the basic food program. That program overall in this state costs about $800,000 a year. So we said, well, what if Chase Bank's administrative fees and their contract with the state was reduced by just 10%? Well, we learned that 32,000 more families could benefit from this farmers market nutrition program with just a 10% reduction in those fees.
It would be better for us to get that money for the low-income families and then use that money to have access to healthier foods, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits. And if we would get that money and maybe plant our own gardens in our neighborhood, it would stimulate not only our neighborhood funds, but it would save money for the low-income women like us. And we would have access to healthier foods, and the money would just go back to stimulating our neighborhood.
Oh, there were two more recommendations. One, to follow up on Violet, was the idea that there are a number of urban farmers that already exist in Seattle and a number of families that come from immigrant backgrounds farming in Southeast Seattle. There are some mini markets, we're calling them, that have begun to emerge. Some are formally sponsored and approved by the city, some are not, but that are beginning to emerge for urban farmers in neighborhoods that don't have a mainstream farmers market to sell their produce. We would like to see city attention put into paving the way for more small farmers to sell their produce in neighborhoods that are some of these food deserts. And finally, we want to see the economic development strategies supported and put forward for the creation, if not for a full-service grocery store in Skyway, at least for a produce stand.
Yeah, that would be very great if we could have fresh fruit, vegetable stands. That would really increase dollars in our pockets for our children, for vegetables, fruits, and that money would go back into the neighborhood to stimulate the neighborhood because it's a forgotten neighborhood. There's nothing around Skyway.
How about the idea of individuals growing their own food and gardening as a way of getting access to healthy food?
You know, in theory, there's a lot of support among the women who have now stepped forward from the survey and are on the organizing committee for the Women in the Green Economy Project. However, the issue of the time crunch and single parenting was raised as a really strong barrier to growing your own food as the solution, really, to hunger.
Of the recommendations you put forward, which do you plan to focus on in terms of trying to get implementation?
Well, that's a question of the hour, isn't it? We held a community meeting in Rainier Beach this past Saturday, attended by 120 people, most from Southeast Seattle neighborhoods. And we released the results of our report to the community. And then women who were involved in being surveyed and putting the report together facilitated table discussions. And so we're compiling that information because at Got Green, we always go back to the communities that we're organizing in to test our messages and to say, are we moving forward in the right direction? There were three elected officials who were also at that community forum. And frankly, we've got to get some backing from one or more of our elected officials, either at the city council, the county council, or the state legislative level, to pick up on one of these recommendations and say, we'll be the ones to sponsor this. We'll be the ones to take forward the voices of women from Southeast Seattle about needing access to healthy foods and about the issue that they're just unaffordable right now. And we're going to be the champion of this issue and move forward with Got Green and with the women in the community to find a solution.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
The message I would like to leave listeners with is we as a whole community get together, help those who are at low income because the recession hit. There's a lot of different stories for families. Our message is access to a better world, access to healthier foods, better homes, transportation, everything that everyday living. And we need help in all these areas as low-income women. We want our voices to be heard also. We're not just going to sit in the background no more. We want our voices to be heard now.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Diane.
You have just been listening to Violet Lavate and Kristen Joy of Got Green. For more information, check on the web at www.gotgreen.org, where you can download a free copy of the report, Women in the Green Economy, Voices from Southeast Seattle. Again, the website is gotgreen.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.